Hey, everybody. Let's take a look at Mark chapter 11 and Jesus' cleansing of the temple. So, Mark chapter 11, starting in verse 12. On the following day, when they came from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold and those who bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. And he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. And he was teaching them and saying to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations'? But you have made it a den of robbers." And the chief priests and the scribes heard it and were seeking a way to destroy him, for they feared him, because all the crowd was astonished at his teaching. And when evening came, they went out of the city. As they passed by in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered to its roots. And Peter remembered and said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed is withered." So this is probably one of the most famous of what people have called sandwiches in Mark, because we have this bizarre incident where Jesus curses a fig tree, and then he goes into the temple and cleanses the temple, and then the next day the disciples notice that the fig tree is withered. And so what Mark is doing is he's showing us that Jesus cursing this fig tree is actually a parable. It's a parable of what Jesus is going to do in the temple. In other words, the parable or the fig tree incident comments on and interprets Jesus' actions in the temple. So let's look at how that works. First of all, one of the clues that we know this is a parable, an enacted parable, is that it's not time for figs. This would be like somebody going in, you know, May to an apple tree looking for apples. Everyone knows you don't get apples in May. And so already what Jesus is doing is a little odd. Well, all through the Old Testament, Israel is depicted in many places as a fig tree from which God expects fruit. And just consider that larger biblical theme of God being a gardener who's looking for fruit, a landowner who's looking for fruit. In the Gospel of Mark in particular, faith in Jesus, trust in him that takes action is a sign, or fruitfulness is a sign of faith in Jesus. So then Jesus goes to the temple. So he does this act with the fig tree. Then he goes to the temple and we have this interchange in the temple. And Jesus is, again, commenting on what the temple was meant to be, what God expects from the temple, and what God is going to do with the temple since he can't find the fruit that he's looking for. So in the temple, there's a couple things to keep in mind. When Jesus goes and does all this clearing, recently the leadership in the temple had allowed merchants to set up in the court of the Gentiles. This was the area that Gentiles could occupy. And it had been allowed for them to come and set up shop there to sell sacrificial animals. So you have to imagine this being something like a marketplace, something like a really busy marketplace. In other words, it's a place of making money, of activity, of animal noises, of people noises. It's just this almost like a Middle Eastern bazaar. Well, when you consider what God had intended Israel to be, he, all the way from Abraham, had intended Israel to be a blessing to all nations. The prophets promised that one day all the nations would stream to Jerusalem and say, "We want to learn from you about the living God." Israel, throughout their history, is doing great when you see them bringing light to the Gentiles. One of the best examples to me is when David goes into Philistine territory for a time. A bunch of Philistines come back with him, I believe, because they were persuaded by his faith, persuaded by the God of Israel. And so the temple was supposed to be a place of prayer for all nations, a place where all nations could be drawn. But instead, it had become a place for Israel, and particularly Israel's leadership, to secure their position, to line their pockets, to do business, and often to make shady deals. And so Jesus comes to the temple as the master of the temple to say the temple is not doing what it was meant to do, then therefore I am going to curse it. I'm going to tear it down. And of course, in the rest of the gospel and in the rest of the gospels, it's clear that for Jesus, there's a new temple, and that temple is his body. Everything that was supposed to happen at the temple, people approach God, the nations come to learn of God, was now going to happen in Jesus' body. Jesus, of course, extends that to his body on earth, the church, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And lest we think that, oh, in this era of grace, there's no more looking for fruit, think about all of Jesus' warnings and challenges about fruit. Think about the book of Revelation, in which we see Jesus coming to the seven churches of Asia Minor and issuing reports on what he saw there and what kind of fruit he saw there. In some cases, severe rebuke, in some cases, great commendation, in some cases, mixed. But the bottom line is, what Jesus did to the fig tree, what Jesus did to the temple, he now does for the church. Now, of course, he gives grace for the church to be and do what she's supposed to be, but he nonetheless will call her to repentance if need be. And I think that that should all lead us to ask questions like, what would Jesus find if he showed up at our church today? Would he find the fruit that he's looking for? Would he would he find factions? Would he find people indifferent to one another? Would he find prayerlessness? Would he find worldly standards? Those are questions that it is very good for the church to ask itself. What about when he comes to my own personal heart and examines my thoughts? What does he find there? He is still the master of the house, looking for fruit. And thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ, he gives us the grace to bear that fruit. But he expects us to lay hold of that grace. And so may we be fruitful trees in his garden, and may we bear the fruit that Jesus died and rose from the dead that we might bear. Amen.